My text this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, using the Revised Standard Translation. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly, and on going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise men show us the right attitude towards Christ. They worshipped him, they're filled with great joy, and they offer him gifts. Firstly, the wise men worship Jesus Christ. We may take different attitudes to that which is good. We may admire a great sports person or athlete. We may honour a great teacher. We may obey the authorities that are set over us. We may love our family and friends. And so we can admire, honour, obey and love various things and people. But we wouldn't worship them. Because to worship anyone other than God is idolatry. In our text, we are told the wise men worship the baby Jesus. One of the objections in the Middle Ages of the reformers to the current Roman Catholic worship was it was too much dominated by the priest. And so the worshippers became spectators rather than participants. And I can remember when I was growing up in the church in the 1950s and 60s, to some extent, worship was a ministerial monologue, and the congregation simply joined in with the hymns and the Lord's Prayer. I'm grateful today that in most congregations, a member of the congregation will read the Bible readings, and sometimes they participate in other ways, such as leading the prayers. For worship is an act by all Christians and by all the congregation. Worship is also a silent testimony to our belief in God and in Jesus Christ. Yes, of course, we can do good deeds, and there's a sense in which that's a silent witness to Christ. But people of non-Christian faiths and people with no faith at all, they also do good deeds. And so there's a sense in which worship is our most clear silent witness to our faith in God and in Jesus Christ. Worship is also a powerful protection against the false standards and convictions of the world. The simple act of praise and self-giving towards God protects us from the standards of the world. It acts as an antiseptic to the infection of worldliness. Some time ago, the United Reformed Church brought out a stewardship campaign, and it wrote in the campaign that whilst the church worships, it lives. In the Rome of Nero, the Germany of Hitler, and the Russia of Stalin, sometimes the only thing that the church could do was worship. But whilst it worshipped, it couldn't be destroyed. And in our secular age, worship helps to protect us from the love of power and of wealth. The posture of reverence before God gives God his proper place and people their proper place. Secondly, the wise men rejoiced when they saw the baby Jesus. In the Dictionary of the Bible, edited by James Hastings, it is written that joy is more conspicuous in Christianity than in any other literature, than in any other religion, and in the Bible than in any other literature. And so, what is Christian joy? Maybe we discover its meaning best of all by saying what it isn't. It doesn't mean the absence of pain and sorrow and suffering and sin. Joy is rather the realization and the faith that God has made the world and has redeemed the world, and that ultimately God's love in Jesus Christ will be victorious over all evil and sin, all suffering, and even death itself. In the Acts of the Apostles, we are told that when the Philippian jailer came to faith in God and in Christ, that he and his whole household rejoiced. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is like a buried treasure. And when a man found that buried treasure in a field, he rejoiced and he sold everything he had in order to buy the field. Paul writes that the harvest of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Christian joy, of course, can express itself in different ways. Sometimes it is expressed very openly. I once heard a story of a preacher and an elderly lady, and the preacher was preaching his sermon, and every now and again the elderly lady stood up and said, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And after a while the preacher got rather fed up with these interjections and said to the lady, "Mrs. Brown, if you stop saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, for the rest of the sermon, I will buy you a new pair of shoes." And so Mrs. Brown kept quiet until nearly the end of the sermon, when she stood up and said, "Shoes or no shoes, hallelujah, praise the Lord." Christian joy can also be something which is more quiet and experienced inwardly. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian. He was also an active opponent of Adolf Hitler, and because of this he was imprisoned. And one evening the Gestapo came for him, and he knew that he meant his execution. And as he was led out, he smiled at his colleagues and said to them, "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." Dietrich Bonhoeffer's joy was based on a strong faith in God and an inner peace. Thirdly, the wise men, on seeing the baby Jesus, offer him gifts. In the Old Testament, Jewish worship is made up of two things: there's the ritual and the inner spirituality. And the priests are the upholders of the ritual, and the prophets emphasize more the importance of the inner spirituality. When Jesus came, he sided more with the prophets, with the spiritual side. And he said that people should love God wholeheartedly and love their neighbour as themselves. And this was a way to eternal life. For Jesus, worship included caring for others for the sake of God and for the sake of others. Archbishop William Temple once said this about worship and life: "True worship is the whole of life. It isn't an hour of church attendance on a Sunday in the midst of a money-grabbing life. Prayer is not more important than conduct, but neither is conduct more important than prayer. The real life of worship is an alternation between prayer and practical service." The wise men bring to the baby Jesus their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They bring to Jesus what is precious to them. And so let us too bring to Jesus what is precious to us: our time, the labour of our hands, the use of our intellect, our wealth, our words, and most of all, our love. And let's share all these things with our church fellowship, with our family, with those that we work with, and those we spend our leisure time with. In other words, let's make our whole lives a gift to God. The wise men show us the right attitude to Jesus. They worshipped him with joy, and they offered him gifts. Amen.